President Trump has been gathering Americans around a table to lay out his agenda, from big business owners to small business owners to, today, African Americans. To mark the beginning of Black History Month, Trump called the African American experience one of unimaginable sacrifice, hard work, and faith in America. But he also used the time to take personal shots at the media, here referencing a mistake by Time magazine's Zeke Miller.
They said the statue, the bust of Dr. Martin Luther King was taken out of the office, and it was never even touched. So I think it was a disgrace, but that's the way the press is. Very unfortunate.
He did not mention that Zeke Miller quickly tweeted that the bust had been blocked from his view. It was there. But the president continued today, picking up on an attack on CNN. He spoke to Paris Denard, a Republican strategist who appeared regularly with us here on Here and Now, but also on CNN.
And Paris has done an amazing job in a very hostile CNN community. He's all by himself. And he'll have seven people in Paris, and I'll take Paris over the seven. But I don't watch CNN, so I don't get to see you as much as I do. I don't like watching fake news.
None of us watch news anymore.
Well, let's bring in NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, put aside using Black History Month for these personal grievances against the press, Politico reported yesterday that the Trump administration is icing out CNN. And Sean Spicer, Kellyanne Conway, spokespeople haven't appeared in weeks. What's going on there?
That's quite a put aside you're asking there. But yes, you know, they, if you remember the press conference just a couple days before inauguration, Donald Trump went out of his way to really sort of a verbally attack Jim Acosta, one of the chief reporters on the political trail for CNN, because of CNN's reporting in this dossier, if you recall, about concerns about his allegedly salacious activity in Russia that they couldn't substantiate, but that nonetheless American intelligence officials took seriously enough that they briefed both then President Obama and then President-elect Trump. Well, you know, Jake Tapper was one of the major bylines on that story. He's one of the main anchors for CNN, and no Trump official has appeared on his Sunday Affairs public talk show, State of the Union, since that the report disclosing the existence of the dossier and the briefing by intelligence officials appealed. It seems as though that Sean Spicer and Reince Priebus and others from the administration are saying we're not going to give CNN the satisfaction of having us on the air to take questions from them because we don't like their reporting, even though the reporting was accurate.
Well, let's talk about the relationship that we have been talking about for several weeks now, actually months during the campaign, between the president, now president, and the press, and how to cover this fire hose of news in the last couple of weeks. Historian Heather Cox Richardson wrote on Facebook that immigration and travel ban on Friday that was implemented without consulting lawmakers or most of Trump's cabinet picks is called by historians a shock event. It's meant to create chaos, and chaos ensued at the airports to further divide a country. And she writes, those responsible for the shock event perform a sleight of hand to achieve their real goal, from which everyone has been distracted. And sure enough, a day later, you had top aide Steve Bannon appointed to a seat on the Security Council while the press was rushing to the airports to cover protests. Now, that sounds pretty paranoid. But then you have David Frum, the conservative commentator and critic of Trump. Fascinating article The Atlantic released early. Frum says that civil unrest and the marches, the immigration protesters, Black Lives Matter demonstrators, this is what President Trump wants his base to see, and what Frum calls the conservative entertainment outrage complex will assist him in getting it out there. And Frum is implying that the mainstream press is as well. Is the mainstream press assisting the president in his true end?
You know, I think the press has to think about the motivations of people and their actions and how they cover things. But I think the press also has to cover what's occurring. You saw a spontaneous, you know, despite the dark insinuations of some administration officials, really a spontaneous spark of outrage occur in cities across the country in reaction to this this immigration edict affecting these seven predominantly Muslim countries, and the question about what does this say about who we are and how does it reflect us? There is a split screen in terms of how the mainstream media is representing what's occurring and how, say, the Trump-centric media is presenting it. Fox mm-hmm. News, Breitbart, Drudge, certain conservative talk radio shows, InfoWars and the like are really presenting the Trump base with a very different different understanding of reality. So yes, the video does become fodder for, oh my gosh, this is what the left does. They, you know, create civil unrest and they want to make us less safe. And yet, you know, meanwhile, Republicans and Democrats, many people across the political spectrum are taking great issue with the implications of these things. I saw one person, I cannot remember who it was, but they described the series of events that have transpired in just these first days of the administration as kind of mass denial of service. And I think what he was saying was that it was almost like the body politics information streaming was overwhelmed by what the Trump administration is doing. Many people have said Trump's an entertainer. He's a dilettante. He's never held a political or elected office before. But what he's doing, whether or not you like it, is quite substantive. And it's sweeping and it's in a variety of areas, almost too much to cover, even as a series of issues raised about Trump and his proposed cabinet would otherwise be major stories themselves.
Well, and we're going to keep covering it. NPR media correspondent David Folgenflik will pick it up again. Thank you.
You bet.